Hey Shoujo fans, and welcome to episode 42 of Shoujo Sunday. This week, we are going to be reviewing episodes 4 through 6 of Fruits Basket. Let's dig in. Hi guys, up top, I just want to give one disclaimer, but it's kind of two disclaimers. One, I'm not like posting about it on social media, but if you know me in real life, and now everybody who listens to Shoujo Sunday is going to know, I am currently going through Invisalign treatment right now, so I might be really lispy and cute through this episode, and Chika is recovering from being sick, so she might be sniffly and cute this episode, so we just hope it adds to the experience.
Yes, guys, if we sound different, sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah.
With that, was there anything that you wanted to add up top too, or do we want to jump in?
Well, yeah, up top, guys. It's been a saga. It's been...
It sure has.
I have literally been living through a simulation of The Days of Our Lives, which is a soap opera. Basically, I know that for many, many episodes, because I was so certain about it, I talked about moving to California and that I was going to move soon and I needed to find a place. And unfortunately, I'm no longer moving to California. If you want to know more details about that, you should go to our Discord. I'm pretty sure I shared in our Slice of Life channel. Mm-hmm. That's the only place I'm going to be sharing it. Unless y'all know me personally, then I probably already told you. But yeah, I mean, it's water under the bridge now. But I am also looking for work. So if you guys are aware of any communication type jobs for like social media managers, communication coordinators, associate, and also admin work, because I do also have a background in that. Like, if you feel inclined, please, like, shoot us an email. Yes. I would be so appreciative and stuff because unemployment does not suit me at all.
No, Chika is far too useful and smart and creative to be unemployed. So get in touch. Send us an email.
Yeah. If your job's hiring. And I mean, primarily, I'm open to nationwide stuff. But if you know, like, of any remote, like... fully remote stuff, definitely shoot them my way. I'd love to see it. But yeah, so that's all for the announcements with me.
Yeah, our little life updates, if you will.
Yes.
So with all of that, let us jump into episode 4 of Fruits Basket. So here is our soft serve summary brought to us by Wikipedia. So episode 4, what year is she? The shy girl, named Kagura Soma, arrives at the house and finds Kyo, then begins to aggressively pummel him for making her worry. Kagura claims that she's Kyo's fiancé, though Kyo points out that it was under duress when Kagura brandished a knife when they were kids. Believing Toru to be a rival for Kyo's affections, she challenges her, but Kyo shuts her mouth when she mentions his true form. To prove her love, Kagura insists on cooking dinner. The magnificent feast she cooks, however, is ruined when Kagura gets too violent at Kyo's refusal to join. Kyo's irritation leaves her hurt, and she runs off to buy more food, but is accompanied by Toru on the way back to the house. Kagura realizes that Toru loved the cat in the Zodiac story, hence why she likes Kyo. The two girls start cooking hamburger steaks together, while later Kyo tells Toru his excitement in learning martial arts. I'm leaving all the laughing in at this summary, because this is wild. The next day, Kagura becomes upset that Kyo was being mean to her, but accidentally... Oh my god, wait. I can't. I'm gonna read the... I know. Are you looking at it too?
Yes.
I'm just going to read it exactly as it's written so that we can all laugh about it. The next day, Kagura became upset that Kyo was being mean to her, but accidentally get embraced by a paperboy in the rush, and she was turned into a boar, though Yuki stopped him from seeing her. What a sentence, my god. Toru then tells Kagura that she wanted to be someone like her, who can see the great things about the person she likes. As Kagura goes home, Toru receives a call from her grandfather about some unexpected news. And that was Wikipedia's soft serve summary of episode 4 of Fruits Basket.
You made it.
I know. That was truly an accomplishment. Reading on hard mode, truly. Chika, do you have a theme for this episode?
I said that there's more to what meets the eye.
Definitely, definitely. I just put that love can make people behave so strangely.
Extremely, yeah.
Quite. Do you have any sprinkles on top for this? I don't have any this week at all, I don't think.
I have one for the next episode.
Okay, so we'll jump straight into Floats Your Boat. Would you like to kick it off?
Maybe. I'm gonna keep it real. It was really hard to find likes with this episode.
I have like 5 total, so I feel you.
Oh, same. And it's like sporadic. Like the first thing that I had was I thought it was really cute when Shigure and Yuki were telling Toru about the other two female zodiacs and like how excited Toru was about it.
Oh, that was precious. She just, like, her excitement about the little things is honestly so inspiring.
Yeah, like honestly, especially with what's going on with me, I feel like it's great to see Toru and how happy and optimistic that she is, even about the smallest things, because so many things have gone negatively in her life and she's always trying to see the bright side. And so it's like, oh, I really, in these dark times, I really want to emulate that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I discovered Fruits Basket at possibly the lowest point in my life, and just even watching the original 2001 series back then, it was just so inspiring. And every time I revisit it, I feel like I'm learning life lessons again, even for the first time, even though I've seen it before. It's like such a good reassurance.
Yeah. There's always something to learn from it, no matter how many times you like watch it or reread it.
For sure. My first Floats Your Boat is when Shigure goes into the complications of marrying someone of the opposite sex when you have the zodiac curse. And he's about to start talking about, like, what sex would be like. And Yuki very quickly covers his mouth and cuts him off. He's like, too much. I thought that was very funny. I actually laughed out loud.
Yeah, me too. Although it's possible.
I mean, yeah, the issue is like, it gets you thinking about all the logistics.
Right, but so, I mean, like, because guys, we're a grown podcast. We're rated explicit, okay?
Yeah.
There are many kinds of sex.
There are.
And it doesn't have to be penetrative. That's how I said it's possible. It's just that you... Yeah.
I mean, while we're on it, I was going to say this in Banana Split because I didn't know where else to put it. I always bring things back to queerness, but like, it would be so much easier if any of these zodiacs were queer, right?
Right. Yeah.
I think, honestly, I wish that plot line was explored. I think it would be so interesting.
Right. Because, I mean, how... There's one zodiac where it's just kind of like, I feel like you were meant to be in the family,
yes.
You know,
yes.
The LGBTQIA+ family, and things just kind of turned out a little different towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, if they were gay, it would just...
It would be easier in a lot of ways.
So much easier.
Yeah.
They could do whatever they want, but yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What's your next Floats Your Boat?
Oh, my next Floats Your Boat is when Kagura is talking to Toru about how when she first met Kyo, he was drawing like a fried egg in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And then they like do a flashback, and then you just see this baby Kyo just drawing in the sand. And then she's just like, oh, I'm going to be with you forever. And like, since he's a baby, he's just so excited.
Right. Right. And especially like knowing what we know later, like that meant so much to him.
It did. And so it's like floats your boat, rocky road, because it's just like, oh, he's a baby. But then it's like, oh, poor baby, because we know what happens. But yeah.
Yeah, that's an adorable flashback.
Yeah.
So there's one little moment in the episode where Todo kind of absentmindedly is looking at Kagura and Kyo interacting. And she thinks to herself, honestly, I'm kind of jealous. And I don't think that she has any romantic feelings for Kyo at this point because she's still very much getting to know him. Mm-hmm. And she kind of alludes at the end of the episode that she actually didn't really like him very much, which is very funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting for me as a viewer to kind of pick up on that for the first time on a rewatch, just to see her feeling jealous before either maybe not fully understanding why or just like acknowledging that she has a yearning for a connection like that.
Yeah. You know, I didn't know when she said that, but it's like, I like that she's self-aware, but at the same time, I feel like I mentally see that more as a banana split.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm more a banana split about it because of what Kagura was doing.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to it, and definitely, it's not even in banana split for real, but we'll get to that in another segment, but yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah.
Mm. What have you got next?
Kyo talking about his shisho, his teacher with Toru on the roof. I thought that was so adorable because he got so like excited just like talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could tell that they have a really strong bond. And so it was nice to like witness that with Toru.
Yeah. And I loved Toru's response as well, being like, oh, look how passionate he is, you know? And he was afraid that he was boring her, but it was totally the opposite. She was just so taken aback by his passion and his excitement, and it kind of like invigorated her to learn more. I think that it's a great little showcase of their bond growing. I love this roof scene so much, and she gives him that adorable little right-handed jab. It's so cute. I love it.
Yeah.
I just have two more floats your boat.
Same.
Mine goes back just a little bit. I liked that Toru insisted on having everybody wait to eat dinner because Kagura had a goal that she was so set out on doing, and Toru was like, let's just let her achieve this because Toru is the sweetest human being in the whole world. And she even, I guess, noticed that Kagura left her bag behind and she went to the store to pay for the groceries for her. Ugh, Toru, I wish you were real so that I could just tell you how amazing you are.
Right? Like,
my God. Yeah.
She's like a knight in shining armor.
She really, really is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciated her doing that as well, you know, because obviously she put so much effort into cooking. And I mean, she's going to notice that because she always cooks for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that she insisted, and I'm glad that they followed through because they very well could have ordered food while they were out.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm surprised that they didn't because they were like really hungry.
Yeah.
Even I probably would have been like, this is ridiculous. We should just order food.
Right. Just like, let's just pitch in and then you can come back some other time and cook. But yeah.
Yeah.
I love when, this is still in connection to that scene of Kyo talking about his shisho. When he was talking all about it, super excited, and like Toru's listening, and then Kyo remembers himself. He got embarrassed and his cat ears came out.
Oh, I love it. I love when that happens. Cat-eared Kyo is so cute.
They came out, like popped out, and then he like settled himself down. They went back in and he sat down. I was like, oh, this is so adorable. I love it.
Yeah. Oh my God, me too. My very last floats your boat is just the hilarious dodging of the newspaper boy.
Oh, same.
Yeah, so he wouldn't discover the Soma curse. It just, the way Yuki, like, just so tenderly covers his eyes. And he's, like, the paper boy's blushing because it's Yuki, like, of course. So very, very, very funny scene.
Like, Yuki just dazzles the paper boy in a way, like, this is what Stephanie Meyer wanted to achieve. Because guys, is this a podcast if I don't reference Twilight?
Oh my God. But you're so right, though. I have very little experience with Twilight, but I absolutely know what you mean.
And like the way he did his hands and stuff too, I was like, I'd be blushing as well.
Oh, same.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Do you want to move into banana split?
Sure.
I only have one. I don't know about you.
Same.
Okay, do you want to say yours?
Yeah, mine is that Kagura presents herself so cutely, but it's a lie.
Mm.
Like in the very beginning.
Yeah.
So cutesy. She just looked like the sweetest thing. And then violence. But that goes into another segment. But yeah.
Right.
Just the fact that her presenting herself one way and it being a lie.
Yeah, definitely not a fan of that either. My banana split also, it has to do with Kagura. I feel like it is abundantly clear that Kyo does not return Kagura's feelings, but she is still so persistent regardless, even though he's like always telling her no.
Mm.
I mean, I also don't like that he raises his voice at her, but like, I kind of understand, you know, because of everything else, like I would have reached a point where I raised my voice too, so.
Yeah. Actually, that just moves into my hot fudge, unless you have Rocky Road.
That's perfect.
Road. Yeah.
No, I have no Rocky. Let's go right into it.
Okay, so yeah, so I was big fucking mad. I was big mad.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've just never liked Kagura, whether it's in the manga adaptation or either anime adaptations.
Yeah.
She is a violent pick-me.
Oh my god, perfect way to put it.
Like, the most fucking violent pick-me I've ever heard of. Who says that it's okay if you cheat on me? Or whatever. I would accept your affairs. What the fuck?
Right. And also because she turns around and like 0.5 seconds later, that's a blatant lie. So it doesn't matter.
Right. And then on top of it, this is also kind of stems into my issue with Shigure, because Shigure is the adult, right?
Mm-hmm. Supposedly.
Supposedly. Like, I have feelings about Shigure.
But oh, I know.
We'll get into that in a different episode. But either way, I feel like as an adult, yes, Kagura is your cousin, but you shouldn't just allow her to be making such violent overtures to your other cousin when Kyo is clearly uncomfortable and is not accepting of her feelings.
Yeah.
And I think by not doing anything, he's reinforcing her idea that it's okay for her to be treating Kyo in this manner when it's not okay. Outside of the fact that, I mean, well, let me keep the segments together because that was I scream, you scream. I'm not as angry about that. But yeah, I feel like it's really nasty behavior to just let that, to let her act like that is just gross. And that's why I personally had an issue with Toru saying that she was jealous of that, because why would you be jealous of somebody harassing someone else and then not doing anything about it? Because he's clearly saying no. And I mean, obviously, Yuki's not going to help. Shigure should be the one to help and is not helping. So that's why it's like, okay, you want to have a close connection with somebody. I get that, but not in this manner. And then on top of it, I feel like the biggest infraction within this hot fudge was Kyo taking a shower, right? So at first I was like, what in the fan service is this? But Kyo's taking a shower and then Kagura goes into the shower.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I can wash your back. What the fuck is that?
Kyo understands how a door locks, right? Like, I don't
know if they do that with sliding doors.
Oh, right. Yeah, me being very American there.
No, it's okay. They might have sliding thing. I don't know, but
either way, like,
yeah.
We talked about this when we were talking about in our Maid-sama manga retrospective.
Mm.
Like, unless you have a physical connection built up with your partner, taking really big leaps like this and just suggesting that things should happen or like intimacy should just be something the other person accepts is right. Not the way. Like, that is super not cool. That is super gross.
It is. And I just think on top of it, it's like, this is not love.
No.
This isn't healthy. I think if you love somebody, you shouldn't be domestically abusive towards them, because that's essentially what it is.
Right.
And I think that since Kagura is a girl, they're kind of playing it off like, I don't know, as if Kyo doesn't have the same level of pain as when he's fighting with Yuki.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, it's still wrong. So I just feel like she violated so many of Kyo's boundaries, and it's seen more as a gag, and I don't appreciate it.
I agree. I don't think it's funny. I don't like really get any enjoyment out of watching this girl beat up Kyo and then turn around and say she loves him. Like, that's not funny to me. It's not cute. I've also never been a fan of Kagura, no matter how many times I've watched Fruits Basket. I just don't really like her as a character. The thing that I had about this situation specifically in Hot Fudge was this quote from Shigure, where he says, "Well, this is Kagura's way of showing him she cares about him. You know how little kids are mean to the person they like." That sent me. Because, one, like you said, this is literally domestic violence. This is not kids teasing each other on the playground. And also, I think we've talked about this before, but I'm just going to say it again. This notion of kids being mean to the person they like and having that be normalized is really super unhealthy. And, like, we gotta stop. We gotta stop.
You gotta stop. Yeah, it's gross. If somebody's mean to you, they don't like you.
Yep.
If they liked you, they wouldn't want to harm you.
Exactly.
They wouldn't put their hands on you, you know, without your consent.
We are kind to the people we care about.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. That's that on that for me.
Yeah, same.
I don't really have ice cream use cream except for writing that Kagura is so clingy, because it was all just kind of wrapped up in that hot fudge for me. I don't know if you have any other specific ice cream use creams.
Technically, I have two.
Okay, cool.
But it's still Kagura, though.
Okay.
It wasn't hot fudge because I was kind of like, fuck Shigure in this episode. It was that she broke Shigure's house.
Oh, right. I kept meaning to write something about the house. I just didn't know what to write or where to put it. But, like, absolutely. Poor Shigure's house every episode.
Because imagine, Gianna, Shigure is younger than us.
I cannot imagine.
If somebody broke my house like that, they'd have to die.
Absolutely. Y'all would be in debt to me.
If you don't die, you need to be giving me money stat. Like, I have your parents on speed dial, because ain't no way you're going to go and be breaking my fucking doors. She broke the flooring and the dinner table.
And the TV.
And the TV. And that's what's kind of messed up with Shigure as well, is that he tried to make it seem as if it was Kyo's fault.
Mm.
It's not Kyo's fault. It's your fault, because you didn't stop this lunatic from losing her mind in your house.
After one thing happened is when he should have kicked her out.
Right. The lack of consequences for Kagura feels insane.
It does. It does.
Because there's no way. Like, if you broke my house, I'd have your ass, bro. I don't know if she's 2 years older than them. I don't know if she's a minor. I guess she still is. I'd hope so. Shit. But,
It's got way worse by the second.
I just couldn't, because, like, I was thinking about, I'm just like, how old is... Let me Google.
She might be... What do they start? 14, 15? So she could be 16, 17?
Yeah. 16. So she's 18. Toru is 16.
Okay.
So if she's 2 years, then she's 18.
Huh.
Which...
Okay.
Okay. I mean, technically you're an adult, but you're still, like, a teen. So it's not, like... nasty,
yeah,
but she's still a nasty person. But yeah, either way, her lack of consequences is insane. I would just be going to the parents, just like, reimburse me, because your child has lost her damn mind. But yeah, well, that's all I had for ice cream you scream.
Okay, I did have one nuts point before moving into episode 5, and it's
okay,
the obvious, like, Toru getting a call from her grandfather saying that the renovations were done. I mean, I guess we didn't explicitly get that news, but it's very obvious, like, what was said on the phone. And I remember that the very first time I watched this show, my jaw absolutely dropped. I could not believe that they were introducing her leaving the Soma house just 5 episodes into the series. I think it's a really interesting turn of events, because it starts raising all these questions in your head, like, what about this? What about that? And, you know, I just really, really thought that was an interesting plot twist.
Right. It subverts your expectations.
Yeah.
You just automatically think, oh, she's just going to be in the house. And it's like, wait, what?
Yeah, I thought maybe we would hear about the renovations toward the end of the season when I first picked it up.
Mm.
And she's just getting to know everybody. Like, she just had that sweet moment with Kyo on the roof, and Yuki was telling her about how he was planting strawberries for her. So it's like, it feels like there's more permanence there.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the rug gets pulled out from underneath her. It was such an interesting little plot twist for me.
Yeah, yeah. Me too.
All right, let's move into episode 5. Episode 5, I've been fooling myself. Here is Wikipedia's soft serve summary. Toru announces that the renovations at her grandfather's house have been completed and she'd be moving back in the next day. Her decision leaves the Somas seemingly in agreement that her stay with them was only a temporary circumstance. The next day, Toru arrives at her grandfather's place and is greeted by her relatives, who were staying with him. Later, Toru's aunt reveals that she had known about Toru's living arrangement with the Somas, thanks to a private detective, and is concerned that this, including Kyoko's violent past, would negatively affect her son's ambitions to become a police officer. The discussion comes to a head stop when Toru's grandfather slaps the son following his jeers at her, and the grandfather allows Toru to live freely, as her parents had done, if she wants. Toru breaks down as she truthfully reveals that she wants to spend more time with the Somas. Yuki and Kyo, who were both listening in from the outside after being bothered by Toru's parting, arrive to take Toru back to their home. Yuki tells off the aunt's son for... Is the aunt's son? I guess it's her cousin, but I'll just say the aunt's son. Yuki tells off the aunt's son for his slander to Toru, while Kyo tells Toru that it's alright to be selfish once in a while, causing Toru to remember her mother giving her the exact same advice when she was young. Thus, Toru joyfully moves back in with the Somas. Okay, Chika, what is your theme idea?
I said make choices that make you happy.
Oh yeah, I love that. I feel like we both had like the same thread for themes. I put, you are allowed to want more than just your basic needs. It's okay to be a little selfish sometimes.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Is this the episode you had sprinkles on top for?
Sprinkle on top? Fruits basket.
Oh, the game. Yeah.
You know, it's so funny. Like, I will be forgetting why fruits basket is called fruit basket. And so we get to hear about this game and how people get into this circle and you have to be some type of food item, some type of fruit. And then when you get called, like, you run and you go to, like, the next chair or something. I'm certain that there's, a game like that in the U.S. too. It's not coming to mind quickly enough. But in this game, in the flashback, we see that Toru is called a rice ball because people had been making fun of her. But even when she was a child, she was optimistic. She was just like, oh, well, I like rice balls. And so then you just kind of see that she's waiting to be called to have her turn to play with everyone. And so I love that this overall, it's a sprinkle on top, but then it's also like theme feeling as well in that, you know, before, Toru was like doing this life where no one was actively choosing her. And then through this episode, we get to see like Kyo and Yuki choose her. And then it kind of pans into Toru's younger self being chosen or called in the game.
Mm.
So I love that.
Yeah, that's all actually in Rocky Road for me.
Oh, sorry.
No, don't be sorry. It's totally fine. It just made me feel a lot of emotions.
Yeah. It's so important, you guys. Like, it's so important to make people feel like seen and heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that this game is depicting that, just try to be kind to people, but still, it's just in general, I love that we get to see Toru actively being chosen by somebody. And I hope that you guys, you listeners, that you are actively choosing the people in your life and making them feel good and that they make you feel good too.
Definitely. And you know what? The more I'm thinking about this too, while we're in Sprinkles on Top, it almost feels like this with Kyo and Yuki choosing her was like healing for her inner child.
Yeah.
And I could like cry. I could cry just thinking about that. Like, oh my God. Oh, this show just rips my heart in half in the best way possible.
Yes. Yeah.
Ugh. With that, should we get into Floats Your Boat?
Sure.
Actually, up top on Floats Your Boat, I will say I think this is one of my favorite episodes of the season of Fruits Basket.
Mm.
Largely because of everything we were just saying about them choosing her and also the drama of them like overhearing the hard conversation. You know, there's just a lot about this episode that does the right thing for me personally. But other than that, my first floater boat would be me appreciating Shigure, just kind of telling it how it is. He's just sarcastically saying to Yuki and Kyo, like, oh, so everyone's fine with this arrangement. Like, obviously acknowledging that nobody's happy or fine with Toru leaving.
Right, right. You just need that little, like, that little thing of humor.
Right.
Because it's like the sweets that you take to make the medicine go down.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What is your first floater boat?
So I'm going to tell y'all, one, I was experiencing the episode, but at the same time, I was kind of a little bit more upset. So I didn't start having likes until Grandpa stood up for Toru.
Oh, okay. Actually, I think that that is my next floater boat, which I love this episode, but like, I also have my own life stuff going on too. So I'm just like, I gotta be positive, just take as many positive notes as possible. But yeah, no, I think that's my next one as well.
Okay.
I love that he recognizes that the living arrangement isn't the best for her and just offers her the freedom if she wants it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, before that, I had that Grandpa slapped the cousin.
Oh, yes.
For saying the indecent things. I was just like, oh, somebody needs to lay hands, and I know Toru's not gonna do it. And so, like, for Grandpa to do it, I was like, okay, Grandpa, you should be doing it because you brought her into this situation with these nasty people. Like, how are you going to talk about your cousin like that? And well, anyway, yeah. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah.
Different segment, Chica, different segment. But I'm glad that Grandpa was like, oh, you finna get slapped today. And I was like, okay, go, Grandpa. And then in conjunction with your floats your boat, the fact that he even gave her the option of you could just live somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be here. I'm glad that he did that because she needs to be in a positive environment.
Yeah, somewhere that will lift her up.
Yeah, and if these are like the first things these people are talking to you about when you're in this environment, it's not the place for you.
No.
So I'm glad that he gave her that option, or just told her that it is an option because she wasn't thinking about it as one herself.
Yeah, definitely. She was just trying to focus on her. I feel like I was going to go into a different segment, I think, by accident. But she was just so focused on, like, well, I have my basic needs covered, so, like, what more could I want? But it's great that she has these people around her to push her into being, like, you're allowed to want more than that, you know? Another very quick floater boat I have is Shigure asks Yuki and Kyo to calm down as they're gearing up to start another fight, and Kyo just screams back, I'm calm as hell! It's just such a great interaction.
Yeah, and like, so true, because things are all well and dandy, but then when you tell somebody to be calm, it just makes them mad, and it's just like, I am calm, but now you're not really calm because you're mad.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Oh, I love I guess back to the confrontation scene, but then like Kyo and Yuki swoop in, but specifically Yuki comes and gets in front of Toru's face, and there's these shoujo sparkles.
Oh, this is like the epitome of a shoujo sparkle scene for me. Like, I think of this one.
Right, because I'm just like, oh yeah, because we still are at that point of like, is Yuki the love interest?
Yes.
And it's like, oh shit, like, look at these sparkles, okay? Like,
yeah.
There were people that shipped them.
I mean, when I first watched Fruits Basket, I shipped them, you know, way back in the day. But this scene, like, gets me, like, as a viewer, it gives me those little, like, heart palpitations, the flutters, because he's like, he is so cool, and Toru says this, I think, in one of the episodes, he is so cool without even trying.
Yeah,
like, I would have literally melted into a puddle if I were her.
I would have just, like, on my knees, just, what? Not like that, y'all, okay?
I know.
Like, with emotion. Please, we have decorum.
This might be an explicit podcast, but, like, we have some decency.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God. I mean, my last floats your boat is what we were already talking about in our, like, sprinkles on top rocky road situation. Mm-hmm. Her conversation with Kyo when he's telling her that she can be selfish sometimes. And she finally breaks down and starts crying and saying how badly she wants to go home and, like, calling it home. Oh, and then the boys take both of her hands and they're walking her home. And we get that flashback of her inner child being healed. And I love it so much. It's low-key rocky road.
Oh, it made me so happy. That was my last floats your boat too.
Oh,
when they're like walking hand in hand with her, I'm just like, please, guy.
Oh,
I'm a thug. I shouldn't have emotions. Like, it was so adorable.
This is the cutest scene. Do you want to go into banana split?
Sure.
Would you like to kick it off?
Yeah, I just have one.
Okay.
And it's about the faculty, guys. The faculty makes a reappearance on the Shoujo Sunday podcast.
Hey, the elusive faculty returns.
Yes. Where are y'all? Like, you see this child being bullied. Everybody's a fruit and she's a rice ball and you ain't doing shit.
Right? And especially because it's like, that's like pre-K or kindergarten, right? That she was a child, a tiny child. Somebody should be supervising to make sure that that's running smoothly.
Right. That's what I was thinking. I'm just like, if y'all don't get your shit together,
right?
Like, come on. So that was the only one I had.
I had one myself. It's just a very silly, like, side comment thing. It's very funny to hear Toru's cousin, like, have that shocking, they're hot moment when he sees Yuki and Kyo. But I don't know what that age gap is, because he seems older, so it seemed weird.
It's gross because he's trying to be a cop. So if you're talking about being a cop, I don't know if he's, like, on the verge of graduating or if he's already in college, but yeah.
I mean, it sounded like him becoming a cop was like an imminent thing if they're doing background checks on people. So like, this is an adult.
Yeah, first of all, like, who gives a fuck if you're trying to be a cop? Go and be a cop. What's your family got to do with that shit? I don't know if it's just different over there and it's just like everybody has to be an upstanding citizen or whatever. But bro, it's nothing to write home about for real.
Yeah, I mean, not to get too political, but ideally a cop would be an upstanding citizen, but I'm gonna leave it at that.
Right, because, like, I mean,
we're gonna assume.
When we need you, otherwise ACAB, but, like, yeah. So, but, yeah, just for them to, well, actually, what you mentioned is part of,
Yeah.
You know, I'll hold on to that. But yeah, you're right.
So that's all of my banana split. I have a couple rocky road. Do you have any?
One was just all of them silently missing Toru.
Oh, yeah.
Even before she really started leaving for real, it was like, we're not facing you. You're telling us this news. And it's like missing somebody that's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then when she actually was gone, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, her absence was so felt.
Yeah.
They achieved that sadness through the screen so well.
Yeah, they did. It made me emotional. And my last one is Toru getting the courage to say that she misses them when she was doing her speech. I was just like, oh, Toru, okay.
Yeah, I had that as well. Kind of like her speech, and also including that she doesn't think she should want more than her basic needs covered. And like, she's out loud trying to convince herself of that when it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You watch her slowly unfurling just how sad she is about leaving these people that she's come to care so much about over the last, like, few months or however long it's been. And then all of a sudden, Yuki is there as she's, like, crying and offers to take her home. Oh my god, yeah, just chef's kiss on that scene and that speech. So, so, so good.
Yeah, and she's, like, crying enough that she's making a puddle on the floor. I'm just like, oh, this baby. I'm like, this is why your family ain't shit. Why didn't they give you a tissue, girl?
Right. They just sat there and watched you. Oh my god.
Just heartless, but yeah.
Truly. There's also that flashback of Toru cooking for her mom that tugs at my heartstrings, because she's cooking for her even though she has a fever, and her mother says that line that I think we hear it for the first time in the episode where she says, sometimes it's okay to be selfish. That's something that we all deserve.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that I definitely need to hear and something that a lot of people watching the show probably need to hear. So I'm glad that that was pretty much like the theme of this episode and it kept getting hammered in. Oh, such good life lessons in this anime.
Yeah.
I could just scream it for days. Yeah.
This is literally the best. This is why it's a shoujo classic.
Yes.
And I know that there are people that don't like Fruits Basket. If you don't, okay. But we love it because you can just learn so much about yourself, about people, about how you can interact with others, mm-hmm. how you shouldn't interact with others. Like, it's just this wealth of information and a joy, an overall joy to review.
Absolutely. It's like, I mean, definitely still go to therapy, but it's like therapy light.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to therapy.
Yeah. Right. If this show resonates with you as deeply as it does with us, go to therapy.
Right.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. I mean, I do also have Toru not being picked in the Fruits Basket game hit me like truck coon a little bit because I was an unathletic kid and I got picked on too. So just seeing Toru go through that, it hurt to see.
Yeah. I mean, I have hot fudge.
Oh, yeah. Let's go into hot fudge for sure.
I just feel like rather than asking Toru where she was staying and why she was staying there, to hire a private investigator and then start making claims about a literal teenager that you put out onto the street, like, fuck you.
Right. Oh,
just fuck you. You hired a private investigator. Why didn't you think this money that I'm using for a private investigator, I could literally be like, hey, Toru, do you need extra money? Do you need money for X, Y, and Z or whatever for the laundry? Do you need money for food? You could literally use that money in so many different ways. And all you had to do was just fucking talk to her because Toru's not somebody who would isn't secretive and everything like that. And so for me, it's like, okay, you're telling her to come into this house. Then you start talking shit about her fucking mom, which fuck you, because her mom died.
Right.
So fuck you about that. And fuck your, well, anyway, I mean, fuck her daddy, but we'll get to that. I don't know which season, but either way, Toru's daddy, I mean. Mm. But anyway, regardless, I just feel like, one, you're attacking the dead. You're attacking Toru with a fucking investigator. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, can you even do that? Because what type of stuff are they reporting? Because that should be against the law to have a PI on a minor.
Yeah, that is wild to me. Unless in whatever, like, if in the Fruits Basket universe, that's just something you're allowed to do if someone's like trying to be in law enforcement and then like they want to make sure your family is clean or whatever. Like, that's a lot. It's a lot of leaping to do. None of it justifies it.
But my thing is that since they're kids, right? They're minors or whatever, like, your juvenile record is supposed to be off limits. Like, it's kind of ceases to exist once you turn 18 or whatever age adult is that you are supposed to be, or it gets expunged. But like, what somebody does in high school has nothing to do with you being a cop. Just go and be a fucking cop. To like be putting this pressure on other people because of your like crack ass dream is so bullshit. And then that same cousin to just be like, oh, did they do indecent things to you? You're fucking lucky, bitch, because you're lucky that Toru is the type of person the way that she is and everything, and that all you got was the fucking grandpa smacking you in the face and Yuki flicking you in the forehead. Because if it was me, oh, we're coming to blows. This is gonna be like the Alabama bra, like, oh, because guys, you know I saw that, the bra in Alabama, the fade in the water and the guy with the chair. Okay, I don't condone what he did to the lady, but I would have picked up a chair and started coming to blows with that cousin, because you're not gonna tell me that, oh, I was doing indecent things with man. Fuck you.
I did not see that, but it sounds like a wild thing. The way that they talk to this girl, I don't know why or how they have this awful relationship with her. It must have to do a lot with their own sadness or whatever. But, oh my god, she's such a nice girl. And to hear the way they treat her is so it angers me. It angers me so much. It's like, don't talk to my friend like that. You know, like she's my personal friend.
Right. Because he was doing it in a nasty way. He was like almost insinuating that she was like a whore or something. Because there's a way to ask that question, right? If he was going to do that and you're trying to be law enforcement, then he could have been like, hey, when you were living with these guys, like, were you okay? They didn't take advantage of you, right?
Right. Instead, he does it like in a jeering way. Like he's like smirking at her.
Yeah. Just folding chair to the head. Just gone.
Honestly.
But yeah, that's all I had for a hot fudge.
Okay. I just have one I Scream, You Scream.
Okay.
It's kind of a callback to the first time I watched this because we do get more context about this later, much later. I was like super uncomfortable with Toru's grandfather calling her Kyoko when I first saw this.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay. They keep telling him it's Toru, but he's just ignoring that and insists on calling her Kyoko. And I thought that was a little messed up given the situation with Kyoko no longer being alive. It just like, it felt really weird. But, you know, we do get more context later, so that helps a little bit for sure.
Yeah, yeah. We know, we essentially find out why he does that.
Yeah.
But I don't even think we're going to get to that this season. I think that's the final season.
Yeah, I think it's much later. So we'll be talking about that a couple of years from now, probably.
Right, right. Guys, yeah. But we know, so don't start writing in like, oh, well, it was, we know. We're just saying.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any ice cream, you scream?
Nope.
Okay, well, let's move into episode 6. Perhaps we should invite ourselves over. Here is our soft serve summary brought to us by Wikipedia. The rice ball stand at the school festival is a success, mainly due to Yuki reluctantly cross-dressing at the third year's insistence. Momiji Soma and Hatari Soma also visit the stand. Momiji causes chaos when he hugs Toru and transforms into a rabbit, though Yuki is able to distract the potential witnesses. On the school rooftop, Hatari cunningly takes a photo of Yuki and Kyo at Akito's request and leaves with Momiji. As they leave, Yuki warns Toru not to be alone with Hatari as he is the doctor who wipes people's memories. After the festival ends, Toru's best friends Uo and Hanajima confront her about their suspicions of her close relationship with Yuki and Kyo, which Toru inadvertently reveals that she's living with them. To confirm for themselves, Uo and Hanajima invite themselves to a sleepover at the Soma's house. That night, the pair find that Toru is living quite comfortably and happily with the Somas, while Yuki and Kyo assuage their concerns that Toru is the type of person who would never ask for her friend's help, even though she deserves it. Toru herself later recounts to Uo and Hanajima how she was saved by a young boy in guiding her back home after getting lost, and had kept the boy's cap as a memento, with Kyo listening at the door. The next morning, Uo and Hanajima give the Somas their blessing to look after Toru, albeit in a manner resembling parents giving away their bride. The episode ends as Toru answers a phone call from Hatari, asking her to come over to the Soma family residence and see him alone. And that's our soft serve summary for episode 6. Do you have a theme, Chika?
No.
Me neither!
I'm so glad. I did not have one. There was a lot going on.
There was a lot happening. I was like, I don't know. Friends are like family. Friendship can be like family. I don't know. It was all kind of in there, but I couldn't quite put the words to it.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
All right. Any sprinkles on top?
No.
All right. Let's get into Floats Your Boat. I only have Floats Your Boat, Banana Split, and Ice Cream, You Scream, so I'm very basic for this episode, personally.
Ooh, I have Floats Your Boat, Banana Split, Nuts.
Oh, okay.
And then Ice Cream, You Scream.
Fine. I'm looking forward to what your nuts are. Yeah. So let's get into Floats Your Boat. What do you have first?
Okay, guys. I felt so validated because y'all, if you've been listening to our podcast, you know my stance on eating franchises. Okay. I just don't personally agree. Like, I love things, but does that mean I literally want to eat them? No, okay? I don't. And so then for Kyo to feel so questionable and literally ask, is this cannibalism? When he's thinking about eating a cat rice ball, I was just like, this was why Kyo was one of my first anime crushes ever in life, okay?
It's so funny because I have that first as well, but I didn't even connect it to the eating the franchises thing. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just really cute to see him like, this feels so wrong. He's just looking at the cat rice ball.
Yes, yes.
My next one is just that Momiji's a cute bunny. Such a cute bunny.
Very cute, but annoying.
Oh my god, yeah. I think the first time I watched Fruits Basket, I literally couldn't stand Momiji. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry, but I literally couldn't stand him the first time I watched it. But he's definitely grown on me a lot. So, like, on a rewatch, I think he's pretty cute. A little annoying, but very cute.
I think when Momiji grows up, then it's like, okay.
Yeah, that helps a lot for sure. Yeah.
It helps. Yeah. But yeah, definitely annoying, or at least a little bit to me. But
I agree.
Oh my gosh. Yuki dressed as a girl was so funny because it's like he's cute, but not that cute, y'all. Y'all are pushing it.
Yeah, you know what? I actually put that in Ice Cream Muse Cream, but I think it's more of a banana split. Mm. Just because Yuki so clearly didn't want to cross-dress
right.
for the cultural festival, but he had to give in to make others happy. So that's why that's like more banana split for me.
No, I understand, yeah.
Also totally unrelated, for our fellow Maid-sama fans and those who have been listening, I love that it's Yuki and Yukimura both dressing as girls. Like, and they both don't want to. Ever.
Poor babies.
Poor babies. Yeah. Our poor Yukis.
Right, right.
Oh, man.
Floats your boat. We meet Hattori.
Yes. Oh, my God. I love Hattori. He's a fave.
The person that we can technically openly ship because he's grown.
Yes. Yes, we can say that Hattori is hot. And that's fine, because he is.
Yeah.
He's a hot doctor.
Although weird.
Yes. Yeah. I like him. It's fine.
It's like, oh, we meet him, floats your boat, but him, banana split for me.
Yeah, I mean, given things, for sure.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Overall, I mean, I would trust him easier than Shigure, personally.
Or, yeah, 100 times. Yeah.
Yeah, I do love the way Hattori very slyly makes Kyo and Yuki pose for that photo. That was the best way to go about it. There was no other way it was going to happen.
Right, but the thing is, you don't smile when you say cheese. People, when you say cheese in real life, do you smile and say cheese? No, you just say cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Yuki's diversionary tactics of like...
Yes. Oh my god.
Getting people to not pay attention to Momiji's dumbass transforming behind the curtains.
That was hilarious. He was very dedicated to the role.
Yes. And then Toru's like runs away like with tears in her eyes. Thank you for being a sacrifice.
Yeah. She was like, thank you so much for your sacrifice, Yuki. It was just him like embracing that he was wearing a dress for 2 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
I put it in Floats Your Boat because I didn't know really where else to put it. It was interesting when Toru accidentally slipped up to Hana and Uo about what was going on with her. Because honestly, in a way, it's almost like finally she opened up to her friends. But I do understand why she was keeping it secret given the whole Zodiac curse thing, you know. But yeah.
Yeah. I think I have that in Ice Cream, You Scream.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Not that she slipped up, but that it took her so long.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We learn that Shigure is a novelist, which is a great job for a Zodiac cursed person.
Yes, it is.
You're not, like, around people.
And he has to be doing good to have a house.
Right, right. I mean, whether he's writing dramas or spicy stuff, whatever works, Shigure, I love it for you.
Right, right. Oh my gosh. Oh, this is a random question. Which publisher do you think would license Shigure's work here in the US?
Oh, I don't know. Because he writes like a range of genres.
True.
I don't, as someone who is an aspiring author, I don't know enough, I think, about the different publishers in the States, embarrassingly, to answer. Do you have an idea?
I feel like it would be like a combination. So like the serious shit, I feel would be like Udon Entertainment.
Okay.
Or Fantagraphics maybe, but somebody serious. And then for like the slutty stuff, I think it just depends. Like maybe Seven Seas would do it or Tokyopop. Yeah.
Hmm.
The slutty stuff. Because, like, Tokyopop has, like, a smut imprint, I think. I don't remember what it's called, though. But, yeah.
I also love that after he, like, shows him the books, like, Hanajima immediately puts her whole face in, like, the little spicy book.
Right.
Just to see what it is. So funny.
To see what he writes, like, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any other floats your boat?
My last one was Toru being surrounded by love while she was falling asleep because she had one friend holding one arm and the other friend holding the other arm. And then their hair was like really cutely decorated on their pillows and stuff. And they're like sandwiching Toru. And it was very cute.
That was such a cute scene. I really, really liked that. I have a couple more floats your boat.
Okay.
One is just that I love the way everybody talks so kindly about Toru behind her back.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like those are the kind of friendships to aspire to have, for sure. Friendship goals.
Yeah, yeah.
We also learn about Toru's hat from childhood, that it belonged to a mysterious boy who saved her and helped her find her way home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love that she kept the hat. And there's so much intrigue built with Kyo listening at the door.
Yes, yes, guys. And before you write in, we know.
Yes.
Honestly, the hat could have been sprinkle on top for this episode.
I guess it could have. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I just have one more Flitzer vote, and it's... The following morning, when Yuki and Kyo start fighting and Hanajima looks at them and goes, a cat and a rat, because of the way they bicker.
Yeah, that's what I put in nuts.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Oh, that's great. Oh, it's such a good moment. I laughed so hard.
Because she called out each of their zodiac in this episode. And I was just like, girl, because she knows.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I wish that we had time to just explore that in her way. Waves. Like, honestly, Fruits Basket would have been so funny if, rather than Toru being the center, if it was Hanajima.
Oh my god, yeah.
They wouldn't have to tell her. She would just be guessing.
Right, she would just slowly be figuring it all out based on waves.
Yeah.
Such an interesting character.
Yeah. I wish we hadn't. More on her.
Honestly, same. I think we get like one character episode, but I don't know if it's even this season.
Right.
Do you want to move into Banana Split?
Sure.
All right. What have you got?
So, isn't it against HIPAA for Hattori to be talking about Yuki's illnesses around his classmates?
Okay, but why do we have like the same thing?
Twins.
I just thought that it was a really weird way to introduce Hattori as the family doctor by having him give Yuki an examination in front of everyone at the cultural festival. Like, what?
Like, that's so embarrassing. You couldn't pull him to the side?
Right. And there's like, there was a curtain that they could have gone behind.
Literally, he's just spilling his business. Like, oh, he has bronchial issues. That's not for these people to know. They don't need to know that.
The Yuki fan club does not need that information.
They don't.
I love the funny scenario of Uo and Hanajima inviting themselves to sleep over, but I hate that they invited themselves to sleep over. We go over this all the time. Do not invite yourself places.
Yes, please don't do that. Just don't do that.
No, just simply do not.
Like, I scream, you scream that. Don't ever do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any more Banana Split?
I think it's a compound one.
Okay.
So it's technically two in one. One, Yuki's dress was so fucking ugly.
Okay, I agree, yes.
It's so ugly. Like, I know that y'all like to do, like, this Victorian stuff, and y'all need to put some of that shit to bed. When you see this stuff animated, no ma'am. That shit looks ugly. And then Yuki's like, oh, Toru would look pretty in it. No, Toru would also look ugly in it.
Yeah, I don't think that would flatter anybody.
Like, literally no one. He looked like he was wearing Pepto-Bismol and Mary Jane's.
Yeah.
And then Banana Split Yuki, like, starting to undress on the rooftop. Like, so you're just going to be naked?
Not the time nor place.
You're just going to be naked in the hallways? For real? Okay.
The Yuki Soma fan club would love that, but definitely not appropriate.
Yeah.
So my last banana split is just something that I caught. It's a very little thing. In the Kagura episode, Toru thinks to herself that she hasn't had her first love yet. But in this episode, she says that the boy in the hat who led her to her apartment could have been her first love, which is a little contradictory. It's not a big deal, but it's just something that I noticed.
I wonder if they meant that if they kept in contact, then he would have been versus he is.
That's what I was thinking. Probably that.
But no, I feel what you're saying. Because it's like, make up your mind.
Yeah. That's actually all that I have for this episode. So I don't know if you have anything else.
I put Rocky Road, but I wasn't emotional on it. Yuki being fearful about Toru being around Hattori and her memories.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like, he just doesn't want to lose a friend. And I'm like, oh, trauma. Like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, that is so sad.
I had Ice Cream You Scream, Shigure going over to stir the pot with Akito.
Definitely.
It's like, don't bring them unwanted attention.
No, exactly. Like, just let things be.
Yeah, Kyo drinking out of the milk carton.
Right, unless, like, it's nearly empty and you're finishing it, don't.
Because, like, backwash in milk?
Ew.
Die. Like, no.
No, thank you.
Yeah. And the last nuts point that I had was Hattori telling Toru to come alone.
Yeah, yeah. I remember being very nervous for Toru on my first watch when she got that call and she agreed to do it. I'm like, oh no, is she gonna be okay?
Ooh, I'm like, ooh, girl, you're gone. Shit.
Right, right. I hoped you liked your memories. nice memories you got there. It'd be a shame if something happened to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's it.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this special us both having different voices this week episode of Shoujo Sunday. And it is time for our patron shout out.
Woo woo!
All right, for our Sprinkles patrons, we would like to thank Gloves, Akemi, PJ, and Pete. For our whipped cream patron, we want to thank Mark M. And for our hot fudge patrons, we want to thank Mackenzie, Aaron M., Mark D., and AJ. Thank you guys so much for being our patrons. We appreciate you so much.
Yes.
And if you guys want to join our Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/shoujosunday. Over on our Patreon, we have our ice cream social live streams once a month with you guys where we talk about fun things, we do fun things. We've been playing How to Full Boyfriend, which has been really interesting. And we also have our Shonen Sunday Watch Along podcast, where we watch Shonen with you and do our commentary layered just like Shoujo Sunday, but for Shonen. Once a month, we're currently doing Chainsaw Man for that, which has been a wild ride so far. And we also offer a bunch of like free goodies and downloads and stuff on certain tiers. So if you want to check out our Patreon, it is patreon.com/shoujosunday. And we hope we'll see you at one of those live streams.
Yes, please join us.
Yes. And speaking of joining us, you can join our Discord server. It's in the link in all of our bios across all socials. So if you want to follow us on socials at shoujosunday across all platforms, you can find us anywhere on the internet where you can follow people pretty much.
Yes. Guys, newsflash, we are on Blue Sky.
Hey.
So if you are on Blue Sky, please follow us, okay? We're kind of getting used to that. We are also on Threads.
Yes.
So follow us on Threads if you're on there. Those are like slightly newer platforms for us. So please make sure to follow us on there.
Yes, yes. Please follow Shoujo Sunday across socials. And if you want to keep up with us personally, my name is Gianna Luna. You can follow me at Gianna_Luna_ across socials. I literally just released my debut single 3 days ago when you're listening to this. I'm going to drop a clip of it somewhere in this episode, maybe right here. So you can have a little preview if you want to check it out. It would mean the absolute world to me if you streamed Twilight Champagne and shared it with your friends, if it's a song that you enjoy. I mean, and that's streaming on any music platform. So like Spotify, Apple, you know, all the other things. So I think it's on Tidal, you know, all the places. So yeah, if you want to listen to my debut single, Twilight Champagne, that is available everywhere now, which is so exciting.
Yes, it is exciting. She's an artist, guys.
Oh, yeah, an artiste.
Yes. But, oh, if you share it, if y'all are on Instagram, share stories of you reacting to the song. You can add Gianna and Shoujo Sunday, and we'll share it.
I would absolutely love to share song reactions. That would be honestly so, so cool for me. I would love if you did that.
Yeah.
But with that, where can the people find you, Chica?
Guys, you can find me wallowing in despair. No, I'm just, well, am I kidding? These days, I don't know. But you can find me on Twitter, Threads, Instagram, sort of on TikTok, at Chica Supreme. That's Chica with a K and not two C's.
And we will catch up with you guys in a couple weeks with more Fruits Basket content. We will see you then.
Bye.